Okay, so we're starting to watch Halloween movies, which I typically hate Halloween movies. Not the series Halloween, but like scary movies. But we watched over the weekend Nightmare on Elm Street, the OG, and we watched The Shining. Man, I love The Shining. I don't know why it took me until Ready Player One to freaking see The Shining.
Oh my God. Well, you know, I don't know what it's like to be someone. Have you read the book?
No, I have a hard time reading books. We talked about this on SJU once. Like, I have a hard time when I read like prose novels, like imagining what, like seeing the imagery in my head of what I'm reading. So like the comprehension, there's a name for it. Someone diagnosed me in the chat.
Oh yeah, diasporic ramelization. Yep, whatever the hell.
Nailed it, Doctor. Oh, looks like you're suffering from diuretic ramelification. but no, I have not. That was a very long way of saying no. I have not read the book.
Yeah, well, I love the concerned half smile, half lip bite that all mothers give you.
Oh yeah,
as their baby in front of your car.
As I'm exiting this parking lot, like I'm Vin Diesel in Fast and Furious, and this mom's like, "Is it okay if I go?"
Yes. Well, it's also her asking you to honor the social contract of you don't run over me and my baby, right?
I mean,
like, right?
I feel like that's more than a social contract. I feel like at some point we put pen to paper, and that is indeed like a felony.
Well, it's almost like she's trusting you to be a fellow human.
Right. Anyways, no, I've not read the book.
Well, so, you know what? I envy people like you who can come to something without, like, because number one, I never saw The Shining with no inflection. I mean, maybe you didn't either, but I'm just saying, like, there was always so much cultural significance,
yes,
around it,
definitely.
Every single right. second of trying to watch the shit, that it ruined a lot of like my original seeing of it. You know what I mean? I'm like trying to like watch the greatest horror movie of all time, this meticulous masterpiece by the great Stanley Kubrick. I'd never ever got to see the dang thing as a movie, just a movie that I'm about to watch.
That's,
you know what I mean?
That's how I feel about, you know, people talk about, like, oh my God, you hate E.T. I'm like, first of all, I don't hate it. Like, I was playing movie fights. Like, you yeah. have to lean all the way into your answer.
Hey, people think me and Dan are like those spy versus spy from Mad Magazine. People think me and Dan are spy versus spy because of the kayfabe of being on movie fights and all the different kerfuffles we get into, and that it's not a rivalry when you get beat all the time. So the Washington Generals rivalry that I have with Dan as far as movie fights goes, and they transmute that to a rivalry as people, you know. But,
yeah,
you know.
But it's like I don't like E.T., and I think part of it was because like I had just been told my whole life that this was, like, a staple of cinema, and it was, like, the crowning achievement of, you know, or at least one of the crowning achievements. It's on the Mount Rushmore of Steven Spielberg films. And then when I saw it, I was, like, 27, and I was like, I don't get this. I don't like it. I don't know if it... But that's what I'm saying. Like, I could not come to that movie as just like, oh, this looks interesting, I'll pop it in. Like, there was so much baggage to it. That being said, I saw The Shining for the first time last year, and it's one of those few movies that, like, as soon as it was over, I was like, I get why this is actually what it is, like, why it's so, like, acclaimed. And
right.
And I was reading, because after every movie I watch, I have to go to IMDb and, like, read the trivia and all that. I don't know why. But it seems
I think,
like,
that's why they're in business.
Yeah, probably. What is their business model, though?
Bunch of dorks like you looking up if Greta Van Susteren was ever in a movie with Ellen Burstyn or whatever.
Okay, wait. I have to tell you, so that podcast I listened to, Hey, Do You Remember? They were the ones that pointed this out, and it's still the funniest thing I've ever seen. The trivia in IMDb section is just like Wikipedia, and that anybody can add to it. So like every now and then, like, you'll see like especially a movie that has a ton of trivia, the first half of it is like really insightful, really cool stuff. Then you'll start getting into stuff like, did you know that you know, Jack Nicholson had an axe in The Shining. You're like, yeah, I watched the movie. Like, that's not trivia. There's one for Spider-Man that is absolutely hilarious, and it's like, Willem Dafoe plays the Green Goblin. His last name foreshadows the fact that he will indeed be the foe for Spider-Man. Green Goblin is Dafoe of
Spider-Man. Wow.
So read IMDb trivia responsibly, kids.
Oh, wow. Damn. Well, see, but it's funny that we're talking about that, though, because there is, I think it's called Room 237.
Yes, yes.
So there are these overreaching film dorks that have so canonized and lionized Stanley Kubrick's Herculean intellect. Okay, just plainly Herculean intellect. But they have taken it to this extreme that is kind of unhealthy.
I mean, so we watched that last year after we watched The Shining, and I have to say, because I was told by a lot of people, like, dude, you gotta watch this documentary after, it's all these theories. I'm like, this is like a 2-hour Reddit thread. Like, I don't think any of this is worth my time or anything of what Kubrick was thinking. Like, the only one that was like, oh, I could see some influences of that was the, like, the Indian burial ground stuff.
Yeah, I could see
but
that.
But, like, the NASA, like, oh, it's his way of saying that he did... by the way, and I've said this before, anyone that thinks that the moon landing was fake, like, you can just go ahead and, like, unfriend me, unfollow me, block me, I want nothing to do with you. Because if you're that dumb, then I don't want to have anything to do with you.
Well, dude, I'm just saying... You probably looked up the quote-unquote fact that we didn't go to the moon on a computer in your pocket. If you don't believe that we can strap, like, explosives to our butts and push us out of the atmosphere. Like, you don't believe that, but you're going to look this up on this modern wonder. That's hilarious to me. That's the funny part to me.
But I was reading the trivia, and it seems like a lot of the questions that the movie leaves, like, up to you to kind of figure out, like, the book has very specific answers for them. And I kind of like the ambiguity of the movie to kind of just make me, like, wonder what it is, rather than like the dead woman in Room 237 of the mm-hmm. movie. Like, in the book, it's very clearly spelled out, like, the backstory for who that is, and she was killed by her husband. But, like, in the movie, you don't really know. Like, you're like, oh, is that Grady's wife? Because we know, like, the kids' ghosts are hanging around.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the ambiguity of it. I don't know. I think that's what Stanley Kubrick did really well, was, like, not everything fits together perfectly. Like, I feel like we've become so, like, I don't know how this happened, but we became so into, like,
oh, of course this Range Rover thinks they're supposed to go first. I mean, that has to be the case.
I can't get past you, man. What do you want me to do? We're at a Mexican standoff here.
Oh, God. It, of course the Range Rover has to go first, though. Of course. Why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't
you're
it?
You're an idiot.
That
you're
was
an
never,
idiot.
That was never going to be
Did you see that little Mr. Rogers smile he gave me, too?
Dude, I'm telling you, when people are effing you in the A, they'll give you all kind of smarmy looks. See, I censored myself. See, I'm proud.
No, I almost went off on him, too. I don't have time to edit this later.
Yeah, I know, right? That's why I was trying to refrain. But I'm telling you, dude, as soon as I saw Range Rover on a thing, I was like, Billy, you got to stop pulling forward, because this person is not going to acquiesce. This is Robin Hood and Lil Jon. You know what I mean? And this is not going to end well, because this Range Rovers don't have feelings.
Lest we forget, David defeated Goliath. So there is precedent for this situation.
And there's a lot of precedent before David. A lot of Davids getting broke off. But I get what you're saying.
Anyways, Shining is great. I feel like it's one of those, like, classics that I actually watched and was, like, probably, like, as blown away as people were, you know, 30-odd years ago now.
Well, and that's really rare. I think when I was able to get a real appreciation for Jaws and watch it as an adult, not like a kid, super scared to even look at my fingers. I was going to just, like, okay, be an adult, look at it with the tiny smidgen that you know about how hard filmmaking is, look at it again. And I was, like, similarly blown away. I was like, dude, they're on a boat. they're on a boat, you know, and it's in the set, it's in, you know, the '70s, dude, '70s film making on boats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, geez, the way cameras still weighed like 5,000 pounds. You guys are doing a movie on a boat. It's just amazing, dude, with mad cameras and underwater footage and going down and getting a little person in a miniature shark cage and then getting a really big ass great white shark to go fight that little shark cage and making the shark look big enough to be in your movie. Just like, geez, Lewis, that's amazing. And like, oh, and also Citizen Kane. I don't want to be a real William Bibbiani about it, but because I had Bibbs on my podcast, and he can go to town with Citizen Kane. It's a nice, suitably pretentious subject for him to pontificate on. But he's marvelous at letting people know why it blew people's minds at the time. Why it was probably too much for people at the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Him, like, digging. Like, he wanted to do such worm's eye view shots that the cameras they had at the time couldn't get low enough. So they had to dig through the basement to get some of those shots that, you know, that suggest such power and majesty. And some of the, like, he was using split diopters on the cameras and jazz. He was doing all kinds of, like, oh, deep focus. Like, you could perfectly see the person way the hell over here. Perfectly see the person in the foreground. They were like, dude, come on, man. Like, why are you doing this to me?
Like, we just got the rocket landing in the moon pie face thing last year.
when it's the moon in the eye, yeah. And the moon's like, arr!
Give us a second here.
Yeah, dude, we just had trains pulling into the station and people were running out of the movie theater last year. But then, so that's what I'm saying. Like stuff like that. But again, when you rob things of their context, it harms things that could be classics. I don't personally find E.T. a classic either. Because I think E.T. is the first part of the mechanized... Movies have always been mechanized. Movies have always been cash grabs. Anything with a poster is a cash grab. That's my... You know what I mean? Okay. That's my...
That's fair.
You know? Yeah. So don't they say things are cash grabs when, you know, everything got a poster.
Right.
So, but however, I feel like that was Spielberg hitting that nice run of people gonna love this. Instead of like, oh, I'm going to do this film and look at, I'm making camera hands with my hands. I'm making lens hands with my hands. I'm walking around, you know, going from that stage of life to the, check this out. It's got aliens and kids. Watch this. You know, that's a different sort of, I don't want to call it cynical, but it's definitely clinical. You know what I mean? Not to, you know, Jesse Jackson it, but. It's not him being a cynic or being a crappy person, but George Lucas and he hit this part of their lives where they were just like, kids go, love this, watch this. And I just don't feel like those movies are as pure as some of the other ones where they're just trying to be filmmaking kids.
That's what I say about, like, Temple of Doom, because Temple of Doom is not too far off from E.T., where it's like they're both going through divorces. They're both just, like, in bad moods, and I feel like E.T., as much as it's like, you know, remembered for like these kids and like the happy thoughts of, and love of this alien, like E.T. is really like dark and mean. Like, it's a really dark and mean movie that I just was like instantly turned off on. Like, every adult is terrible. And I guess it's not just E.T. There's like a thread of...
Well, as I recall, it's like, it seems like every adult is either terrible or terribly distracted.
Yes.
Which is what Stranger Things took. I think that was one of the things people talk about Stranger Things biting the aesthetic of Spielberg back in the days and stuff like that. But it's biting this thing of like, if the kids have these much adventures, the adults are harried.
Yeah,
or
by
ignorant.
By
or
season
crappy.
Three, would you ever let your kid leave the house to go to someone else's house? It's, dude, like they've already encountered aliens like 12 times.
Dude, a demon monster almost ate my baby. You know, it's I don't know. I think they could have done a lot of things to make not every damn body know that this stuff is real. Because I think it's interesting when you have gone through something. You went to Narnia, and your damn mama don't know that Narnia exists.
When you come back from Narnia, it's only been like 5 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you went
upside down. Should have been like Narnia. They should have
stole
that.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. See, a little bit more. What's that? plausible deniability.
Yes.
A little bit more plausible deniability. I think they'd be going strong into season four. Obviously not as a Netflix show, because Netflix is, like, almost rooting against you to ever get to a season four.
Well, I mean, it would be just an interesting character growth that by this point, like, no one believed Will. And he's been through all of this drama, and no one believes it's real.
And even worse than that, how about this? Okay, you and your core group believe it.
Right.
But then they start being like, well, don't nobody else believe this, so I don't believe it either. That's the horrible part. Like, and that's kind of what they kind of tried to do this season, to their credit. Like, Will still Arrested Development. Arrested Development. He still has Arrested Development. Whereas they're all moving on and smooching gals and all this type of jazz.
I wasn't sure. My wife and I both thought, like, were they trying to imply that Will was gay? Or not.
Or maybe he's ace, as the kids say. You know, asexual, you know. But either way, he hasn't gotten into any of that. Whether it's from him being asexual or homosexual or no sexual, it doesn't really matter. Or incel, rather. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Whatever the hell he is, he hasn't gotten to partake in real adolescence. He had this weird childhood horror adventure.
Right.
And then he hasn't had a chance to actually transition out of that into real adolescence.
Which is so weird. Everything's fun. I guess that is kind of like, I don't know, it's not Stockholm Syndrome, but something close, where it's like he had this traumatic experience with this demon from this board game that actually is real. And, like, all he wants to do is play that board game now.
Huh, that is interesting. Well, I mean, I think maybe he can process the fact that it is, like, a government demon. You know what I mean? Like, he said, like,
this clocks in, like, every day, gets a pension.
You know, Warner Brothers dog. Oh, that's funny. Like, hey, Charlie. Hey, how you doing, Sal? Okay, eating our lunch together. Okay.
But so, thinking of, like, E.T. and, like, you're talking about Citizen Kane, it does make me think, like, I can't think of any movies, at least in the last, like, 5 years, that will go down as, like, 30, 40, 50 years from now will be, like, classics. Like, maybe, like, the last ones that I can think of, at least in my mind, are, like, There Will Be Blood or No Country for Old Men. And it's, like, anything after that, like, are there any real, true, like, we will remember and be studying and talking about that movie 50 years from now?
Well, I mean, I did...
The Avengers.
Well, I did see a movie. It's a... it's called Crawl. It's about a lady trapped in a house with alligators during a hurricane. She's like karate chopping him or something. I haven't seen the movie because on Amazon Prime, yeah, you know how I tell a movie is okay, but ain't that damn good? Because they don't let you rent it.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? If they won't let you rent it, that means they don't want you to watch this mug and go tell all your friends, dude, don't even rent this mug. This is trash. So they make you buy it for like $18.99. That's an evening out. I'm not going to risk that on you, Crawl. Are you kidding me, bro? I'm going to just sight unseen, pay your ass.
our Zoom is crawling away.
Dude, I'm going to sight unseen, pay your ass $20 to watch Crawl. You had your damn mind.
Well, hold on a second, because you were trying to get me to see Crawl when it was in theaters, and I said no. You would have paid $18 to go sight unseen.
Excusez-moi. I am a straight matinee hoe, and I handle my midday business on these unexpected-ass movies.
A matinee hoe. I will whore myself out to any movie that's $7 in a Wednesday afternoon.
Yep, give me a nice young Wednesday afternoon. I'm about to watch all this dubious fare. That's what I'm about to do. So that's when I go see that sort of stuff. You know, because, like, I was, dude, to tell you the truth, and I know that everybody says the Joker movie is good, and I've seen the Joker movie, and I think it is good. You're not going to get some weird hot take out of this one. But I was slightly mad that my friend Jeff Baldinger, he bought
6 degrees of Jeff Baldinger. I called it earlier. Everyone that I know, even tangentially, has had Jeffrey Baldinger, comedian Jeffrey Baldinger, on their podcast at some point of their lives.
That's crazy.
My mom probably secretly has a podcast, and Jeffrey Baldinger's been. I think I've met the guy like once. He's very nice, but dude, it's just everyone I know knows this guy.
Dude,
I kind of think that maybe he's not real.
Dude,
it's like when my girlfriend's in the bathroom. The new my girlfriend's in the bathroom. I swear is just like, oh yeah, Jeffrey Baldinger is coming on my podcast. It's like he's not real.
But then you can download the podcast. What are we? This is like a grand delusion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just you doing a different voice.
Speaking of the Joker. Anyway, so but I was mad as hell that sight unseen. This fool was talking about, I bought us tickets at the Century City. It'll be $18.50. And I'm like, bro. You're
like, total?
Oh, my God. Now, yeah, total for both of us? Awesome. No, bought my ass a $18.50 rich boy ticket to this damn Joaquin. I know it's Joaquin, but I just love it. Joaquin. this skinny-ass Joaquin Phoenix flick by Todd Phillips. I gotta pay $20 sight unseen. I might as well have bought Crawl.
At least you get to keep that.
At least I get to keep it, right? So yeah.
But yeah. I think as much.
And I know people, that's not as dubious as Crawl.
Sure. But I think as much as people are saying it now, and it's 100% a falsehood. Like Joker, I actually really really loved it. I thought the craft was great. I don't. Again, though, it's like you compare it to a classic. You compare it to Taxi Driver, but it is not in itself going to be a movie that we remember 50 years from now and are still talking about. I don't think so.
Well, I don't think that, but I do think certain things that we think are... I think we need to start opening up what classic means to people. Because there's whole communities who think certain movies are classics
That's true.
Super trash. Like a Rocky Horror Picture Show, let me tell you something, buddy. I hate it. But guess what? A lot of people like it a lot. And it means a lot to them. And for me to try to, I'm not going to say yuck, they're young. It seems like a trademarked phrase at this point. But yeah, just to try to crap on their appreciation of it.
Crap in someone's oatmeal a lot lately.
Crapping oatmeal, yuck, you're yum. I thought that was original, but again, all these are memes. Get in your head. But viral ideas, some of them are good. Like, don't crap on people's stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, like, at a certain point, and I'm not trying to be a SJW about it, but it gets culturally insensitive to hate certain movies just because you don't get it. Because they're not for you, bro. You know what I mean? There are so many movies that aren't for, which is why I hate when people go, "Damn, get Fight Club. It's a toxic masculinity." Yeah. Like, 10 years before anybody male acknowledged that that was a thing. 10 years before anybody male acknowledged that that was even a thing, this fool did a whole movie in it and got movie stars to be in it and made it at least a cult hit so that people could get some of these ideas out. That's amazing. To me, that's a classic.
I would put Fight Club in the classic category at this point. Like, it is just so transformative. That it deserves. I don't know, like, but again, like, that's going back to 99. Like, I haven't seen a movie like The Matrix or Fight Club or anything that's like transcended,
you know,
the culture.
If Iron Man,
maybe Black Panther.
Well, dude, no, because that third act, if Iron Man had a third act, it would be up there to me. If you look at the format that Iron Man laid down, that was amaze balls. I have never, ever seen an origin story better than that on screen. And you think you saw one in certain Batman movies, maybe Batman Begins or something, but not really. Like, we saw this fool at the top of the tippity top. Hey, man, no gang signs. Blah, da, 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 da. Hey, ha cha 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 cha. All the way beaten down and put in freaking prison. Then getting out of it using a lot of, you know, inventive whatever, changing his whole life. And then telling everybody he's a damn superhero at the end. I mean, that's awesome. But that third act sucks balls. And it's like, dang. You know? I'd say Black Panther 2 if it wasn't a damn PlayStation game in the third act. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm sure, like, and that's not to say, by the way.
And that's why Lord of the Rings ain't no damn classic to me. Hot take, sell it, rides on through.
Because I hard disagree on
that. Oh, I know. To me... When you start to look at the last one, especially the CGI army of it all, it, even though the CGI was better, it probably had a larger budget and longer time to work on than Black Panther for some reason. Even though they put basically $1 billion into Black Panther, or not a billion, about $500 million into Black Panther and made way more than that. I just feel like, no, here goes your buddy John Q. Law.
What is he looking out for?
I don't know. Blacks.
Please, sir. But here's the thing. CGI does not a movie make. Because they're classic movies. I know, but it can ruin movies.
It at the end,
no,
though,
that, to say it ruins it, I feel like is a massive
overstatement. That goofy ghost army sucks, dog.
That's I hate it. Of course, it's like one little part of like a grand, sweeping, epic, three-part movie.
Well, again, I'm sorry for yucking your oatmeal. If you combine them, then it's not a trademark phrase. By the way, that's a pro tip for you. So, I don't want to yuck
change it. One note in a song, yep. And it ain't copyright infringement.
Boom, 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 da doom, doom. But mine is, doom, 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 da doom, doom. You see the difference?
It's like, yeah, you're white and humming it.
Under pressure. Ice, ice, baby. But, yeah, all I'm saying is, to me, that's another thing. That's cultural stuff. We need to, I hate how people act like culture is a divisive thing. It isn't, unless you expect a monoculture. And if we're all speaking the same damn language and using Apple Pay to pay, if a Swahili-speaking dude uses Apple Pay to pay for his damn muffin in front of you in America, y'all are the same. We're the same, doing enough of the same to get by. We're doing enough of the same to get by. So I hate how people don't understand that the cultural differences. Me, at my culture, the way that I was raised in Missouri, I don't care about a bunch of Eurocentric asses walking for a long time to go do something the Eagles could do. That doesn't resonate with me. That's not my thing.
Yeah, but you're mistaking your personal preference of the movie.
No, I'm saying I wish more people would let things be classics to different cultures, is all I'm saying. Because me, personally, I just don't dig Lord of the Rings. It'll never reach classic status to me ever because I reject the premise. And that's fine. Let people do that and understand that we have a couple of classics that in common, mm-hmm. and classics that are out of common.
Yeah.
And that's way dope. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. That, you know, so,
you're saying, I guess your thesis then is like a classic shouldn't be a genre like action or comedy. A classic is too subjective of a term to label a movie, because what I consider classic, you wouldn't? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I think we just let people have their personal lists of classics, and then over the course of all I'm saying is, I reject the premise that time mm-hmm. has determined that Citizen Kane is a classic. Because frankly, a bunch of dudes who want to give Orson Welles a continuous, you know, BJ throughout human history,
right,
have written about it obsessively for 70 damn years. I have no real concrete proof that it isn't just a weird meme in my head why that is so good, because I got it pounded into my head as a kid studying film that this was this crowning achievement. I don't even know if my opinion is my own anymore.
That's fair. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, this pretend, like, Oscar Michaud, black filmmaker that nobody knows about. Look it up. Oscar Michaud, spelled that weird French way, like E-A-U-X at the end. Oscar Michaud. This black dude, in the time that some of us were still all subjugated and messed all up, yesterday? Anyway. in a time where it was very uncommon for a black person to be any sort of filmmaker.
Yeah.
He made, like, over 100 movies. Like, real full-scale movies.
Okay.
And all I'm trying to say is, in no world, or rather, in the world that we live in, none of his movies would ever be as classic as D.W. Griffith's or whatever, even though they were using some of the same techniques and all this different stuff. So how are we determining that time has determined everything's a classic? I think a bunch of white dudes determined a lot of these things are classic.
So in your opinion, because I'm really struggling, I've been thinking about it for a while, are there any movies in the last 5 years that you would consider a classic? Like, this will go down in history as a classic in the last 5 years. I've been struggling because there's a lot of movies that I absolutely love in the last 5 years but I wouldn't consider it like, you know, 50 years from now, no one's going to be studying them, talking about it, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
you know?
But I think if it was 1975 or whatever and freaking, you know, let's say, if I was at the cinema and Jaws came out and I've seen the Poseidon Adventure, maybe the Poseidon Adventure is different. You know what I'm saying? Around that era where they made these, they started making these so-called, everybody go see this, Paul Newman's getting attacked by the world type right. of movies.
Sure.
I don't know that I would say that Jaws was, like, so much better than all that. You know what I mean? But over the course of time, we can see that acting is held up and that this and this and that. You know, all these different, like, prime factors of what movies really are over time. Like, it was stripped away of its, frankly, its timeliness. Once you rip the timeliness away from something, you can really judge what it is. So that's why I think it's hard to perceive a classic within 5 years of it. You know what I mean? I didn't think Jackie Brown was going to be one of my favorite movies of all time at the time that it came out. When it came out, I was like, this ain't Pulp Fiction. I'm not rejecting it because of that, because I think this is like a blacker Pulp Fiction, if that's possible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, a blacker Pulp Fiction, sign me up. You know what I mean? And then it wasn't quite that, but it kind of was, but it kind of wasn't. And blah, blah, blah. All I'm saying is, as I've matured, that movie gets doper and doper to me, because I'm just like, if I was a 44-year-old black lady making $16,000 and I had a gangster that was going to murder me, I'd find any way out of that situation I could. And the fact that she was able to get out of that situation and get homeboy Robert Forster, RIP, to help her in that situation, I know how much $500,000 would change my life right now in 2019, much less this amorphous 1981 or whatever
right.
that movie takes place in, you know? Or 1993 or whatever that takes place in. So it's like, all I'm saying is, like, movies seem to me, once you can get some distance on them, that's what makes them classic. So maybe we'll look back and be like, how the hell did Avengers Infinity War and Endgame hold up that well? Number one, the CGI is still unmatched, like Jurassic Park type unmatched. And then, you know, why is it still so resonant? It seemed like a highlight reel in this time, but maybe
right.
it's gaining significance later.
My only thing with Infinity War, because I thought about it, I'm like, that is such an achievement that I wonder if, like, you know, it's something we'll still be talking about years and years. But it's like, that's part of the blessing and the curse of the MCU is, like, I don't know, for a future generation, if you can just, like, watch Infinity War, it's with, like, jump, like, be dropped in the middle of it, you know what I mean? It's not like you can watch Jaws with no context of what
yeah.
it is and take
yeah.
it in, but it's like, here's 22 movies to prime you for
no. yeah.
for this. But it's like, once, I think the MCU as a whole is such an incredible achievement. I don't think all of the pieces of that puzzle are classics or even that good, but mm-hmm. I think the overall idea of it is so cool that I'd rather study the concept than...
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Our future generation kids will literally discover the Marvel Universe as, like, the tippity tip of one of the pointy things on the top of the freaking Statue of Liberty
right.
in the sand and start digging this giant lady out made of all these parts, and they're gonna be like, oh my god, this beautiful, wonderful testament to the ancient world. And they'll have 22 to 25 movies to, like, look at. I as a kid to discover that, that'd be like discovering one of those boxes of chocolates with all those different flavors in it.
Right.
Some of them are so yucky that you want to kill yourself, but some of them are so delectable, you're like, oh, can I have a couple of those more? And the Infinity War and Endgame are like the good ones with, like, whatever you like in the middle. And, you know, Iron Man 2 is kind of one of those ones you got to bite it and you just go, oh, like a dog eating something bad and
like,
drop it out.
I kind of like Iron Man 2. It's the one that's grown on me the most.
Now, Thor 2 is the only one to me that is like that. Like, oh, gotta get it out of my mouth. Iron Man 2, frankly, is doing so much yeoman's work on the storyline, and it got the Silver Centurion armor and briefcase armor. Come on, man.
It's got Sam Rockwell being his Rockwellian best.
Yep,
like,
absolutely.
Like, there's just too much to like in that one, but I think I'm with you where... I don't know. I truly don't know if, like, I don't know, like, will our kids even care about Marvel at that point? Or will it be, like, mom and dad's old-timers movies,
well,
you know?
Well, again, kids these days get their dad's bunch of goofy Star Wars movies, and I'm sorry, when my kids discover something, and it's the Marvel Universe, overall, for my entertainment dollar, the Marvel movies are giving me more entertainment. Maybe that's a hot take, but again, it's 22 movies versus like 6, so that shouldn't be.
You have no idea what your kids gonna be into. You can push your kid all you want to be into Marvel, but they may end up being like, nah.
My kid is going to bully people. My kid's gonna be a total piece of crap because, I can't, dude.
Happy birthday, you piece of crap. Here's Joker on 12K Blu-ray.
Dude, my kid's gonna squeal up in a Dodge Charger at 16. Just be a total dork. I mean, no, he won't be a dork. He'll be a total Chad. And I'll be like, I tried my hardest to make a nerd, and I just failed.
Chad Greer.
Yes, Chad Greer.
All right, we're parked. We did our panel not too long ago. The Reboot It. We will have that audio and video.
You'll see the perils and the pleasures of doing live podcasting. And it was really fun, though. It was like one of these things where we got to flex our muscles live in front of the crowd, and we're going to do the same thing as in a podcast format. You know, a little more controlled environment and bang those out. And I think you'll see this is a valuable experiment to try to see how we can reboot these things.
Yeah, it was really fun. Thank you to those of you who showed up live and in person. If you missed it, like I said, follow at Nerd Goat Podcast, at Edgar Destroys, at Billy A. Patterson, any one of those three. When it's ready for public release, you'll know. And until then, get the hell out of my car.